Praise God. Is it recording? Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. Open your Bibles with me this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Have you ever felt deserted? Anybody? Ever felt alone? You're going through something and it doesn't seem like anyone's there, you know? It seems like that they were with you during the good times, but when you get to the hard times, it gets really lonely. We've got some really some powerful TNT to fight the adversary with. We have an explosive power. It's trust in trouble. That's our TNT. All right. And as we're trusting the Lord in the midst of trouble, amen, He will take care of us and see us through. It's kind of interesting. I love the Apostle Paul and the words of encouragement, even that he writes to others when he's going through something. God wants you to understand something today. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, He is going to see you through. That this too shall pass. Okay? This too shall pass. And he wants to get this in our hearts today. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16, the Word of God says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." And this is where I want to focus our attention this morning. And he says, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And the title of this morning's message is Keeping Our Eyes on the Prize. And I want to speak first, four things I want to share is our dependence, our deliverance, our defense, and our destiny. Amen. Out of this verse. So can we lift the word together and make a declaration? We're declaring faith in the room. Hallelujah. Say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, that you sent your word to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do. And I prayed this prayer many times, but I just feel I need to say it again. Just as you did in Isaiah, Father God, send the angel to the altar and take those coals and place those coals upon my lips because I'm a man of unclean lips. And Father, may you speak through me as your vessel today. May Carl just remove himself, Father God, and may you have freedom to flow through me and to this congregation today. Father God, may you speak what they need to hear. And may you accomplish everything that you sent the word to do this day. Your word says and declares it'll never return void. So we thank you, Father God, for all it's going to accomplish here today and every heart and life, body, mind, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the things I was, when I was looking at that, sometimes we read things and we don't meditate on some of the things. And the Apostle Paul said, "And the Lord shall." He didn't say the Lord might. He didn't say maybe the Lord. But he said the Lord shall. In other words, that was a statement of confidence, showing that who he believed in and trusted in was going to do everything that he said. You know, Paul in Romans 8, 38, 39, he was a man that said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any creature is able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Here's Paul in the midst of this. Paul is chained to, he's a prisoner, he's chained to a guard. Amen. They're getting ready to throw him into a lion's den, okay, and in the arena so he can be a spectacle for the spectators to see. But God is ministering to his heart and his life. He said, man, I am confident. I know who I serve. Amen. So look with me this morning in Hebrews chapter 10. The Lord shall. Verse number 35. The word of God says, the writer of Hebrews says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. In other words, he's saying to hold our confidence, to hold our trust. Amen? That he's going to do what he said. Matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 6, the word of God says this. He says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope, of the hope firm unto the end. You know, if faith is the substance of things that we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seeing, we have to rejoice and celebrate as if it has already taken place. Amen. In other words, that's our act of faith. Jan this morning was trying and trying to get us to enter into praise. Amen. Because so many times we focus on the adversity we're facing instead of the one that's going to deliver us from the adversity. And what praise does is it transforms or it changes our thought life towards heaven. Hallelujah. So we can get our minds off our own stuff. And God's not saying that anyone in the room isn't going through some stuff. Amen. But God is saying you're never going through this stuff alone. Have confidence. That's why he says in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which have begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now let me say something to you. When God begins healing, you know, he in the part way God, he does things all the way. Amen. And so many times you say, well, he just isn't going to heal me this. He did this part, but he isn't going to do that. And God wants us to change our hearts and change our minds. God wants faith to arise in this house so that we will believe God and his word. Amen. And when we act according to God's word, great and mighty things take place. Amen. All of a sudden, you start treading on the devil. You're not going to tread on the devil if you're exalting your disease or you're exalting your sickness and you're making it larger than God. All of a sudden, that thing is bigger than you can step on. You've got to cast down every imagination and exalt of itself above the knowledge of God and bring under captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When we prophesy and we say some things and we call some things forth, we believe they're coming. Even if we haven't seen it yet, we know they're coming because God said it. Amen. And when God says something, he's not a man that he should lie. God said it and he's going to do it. So in other words, Paul had this mentality. He's writing to his student Timothy. He said, hey man, the Lord shall. I mean, he knew who he was depending on. He knew who he was trusting in. He knew who he had his confidence in. Amen. But he said this. He said, and the Lord shall deliver me out of every evil work of the enemy. Of every evil work. Whether you know it or not, sickness and disease is evil. Sickness and disease is the curse of sin. The curse of sin has been broken at the cross of Calvary. I'm so sick of hearing these generational curses. My mama had this, my daddy had this, my granddaddy had this, now I'm going to have this. Shut up. Shut up. Life and death are in the power of the tongues, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof. Shut up. In other words, you're feeding the adversary and sickness and disease. Amen. I want to say something else. When I read the prophetic word of the Lord, I prophesy it over myself. I receive it. Lord, you're prophesying, you're saying this over me. See, there's a deception. The deception of the world is once you reach a certain age, these things are natural for you to get this and to get that. Lie. Lie. You and I are in the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's 120 years. Amen? That's 120 years. And healthy for 120 years, okay? Not sick and not weary. Oh, I'm going to have this and this and this. My mommy had it. My granddaddy had it. I'm singing a sick song. Here's what the Lord says. Turn with me to Isaiah 46. Are you with me? Guess what? I'm young. Amen. I'm middle-aged. Hallelujah. I'm middle-aged, and what this represents is represents wisdom. It represents things that I've been through. And all of us that have gray hair can tell you some stories and have experience in life. Hallelujah. Amen. What were they calling that thing on top of the heads? Where's Jackie? Where's she at? Oh, what were they calling that thing? A man bun? I was talking to them last night. Last night we were talking about that and the hair. And I said, well, you know, if I grew one like that, I'd have to have pigtails. Because I only grow from side to side. And I said, if I started wearing pigtails, they would really be praying for me at the church. But here's what the Lord wants to say to you. Listen to me. Other middle-aged and young people in the room. Because we don't have any old people in the room. Hello? Hello? He says in verse number 4. He says, and even to your old age, I am he. And even to your gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and I will deliver you. All right? Amen. Even to my gray hairs. Amen. It doesn't matter if you had gray hair and you dyed it, you still had gray hair. Amen. What the Lord is saying to us in the house of God.